All right, we're beginning here on Masechta Deruvin. Deruvin is really an appendix to Gemara Shabbat. Really doesn't necessarily have its own identity because we've already seen many of the issues that are going to be raised here in Masechta Deruvin already raised in Shabbat. Masechta derives its name from the two Eruvin that are going to be discussed inside of Masechta Deruvin, which is the Eruvei Chatzerot and the Eruvei Tchumin, which are institutions, the Rabbanan, to deal with issues or isurim that the Rabbanan developed in order to prevent people from carrying or violating other isurim on Shabbat. So as far as Erev Chatzerot, which is what the Masechta begins with, we know from Masechet Shabbat that you have different reshuyot, different areas within the world of a person on Shabbat. But one is that the Torah recognizes is Reshut Yachid and Reshut Rabim, which is the private domain and the public domain. It's very hard to reach a public domain. You need it to be 16 amot wide. It has to be a thoroughfare, which means it has to be open on both ends. And the possibility, according to many of the Rishonim, that 600,000 people would pass through that way. That Reshut Rabim is hard to get to, but there, it seems in the Gemara that they did have such Shuyot Rabim. The other hand, most everything else is defined as Reshut Yachid. And one is not allowed to carry Min HaTorah from Reshut Yachid to Reshut Rabim, Reshut Rabim to Reshut Yachid, or Dalet Amot within the Reshut Rabim. Chachamim were afraid that certain areas or domains look very similar to Reshut Rabim, and that's where there's shared ownership, or there's a common area where many people enter. And the mistake that people would make is if you can carry in these common areas or in these joint ownership areas, then you would do the same and go out into Reshut Rabim. So therefore they said that those types of areas are what we call a karmelit. They have everything Reshut Yachid min HaTorah, but mid Rabbanan they are asur to carry in. And the Chachamim then instituted, in order not to make that burdensome to the people, a way to change it back to Reshut Yachid and allow one to carry in those areas. So within the courtyards, the way their houses were set up, the Gemara discusses also, is that they had the Reshut Rabim. After Reshut Rabim, you have roads that enter cul-de-sacs, which are usually what are called the mavui she'enu miflash, a mavui that doesn't go straight through. Then from that mavui, off of those mavui, you have courtyards, and around the courtyards are built houses. So the Eruvei Chatzerot deals with those courtyards, which are joint ownership of the houses that surround the courtyard, and that's a way to create a quasi-single ownership, to give over ownership of the entirety of the Chatzer to one individual. So therefore it becomes a real Reshut Yachid and not joint ownership anymore. And the other one is what we call Shituf Mivot. Shituf Mivot is taking all those that belong to the Chatzerot, the courtyards around it. Again, then that joint ownership of the Mavui, they make it to a single ownership. The Mavui requires an additional tikkun, which is that you're sitting against the Reshut Rabim. So you have to have some sort of definition on the side that enters into the Reshut Rabim that separates it from the Reshut Rabim. And that's done Ayidei Lechi V'Korah. Again, we'll get to that within the Gemara. Korah is a beam that goes across the top. A lechi is an amud, a pillar or a little stick pole that is there on the side. There's a machloket in the Gemara, so whether that is mishum mechitza or mishum hekera, whether that actually becomes a wall, functions like a fourth wall, or is it simply to identify the end? But you need that there so people don't make the mistake of where the end of the mavui is, where the end of the area is that you're allowed to carry. And that's just a quick review of what we saw in Shabbat, and now we begin Masechet Eruvin. So the Mishnah here begins in almost a strange way. It could have started giving you some definition of halacha, except it just starts with information that assuming that you know everything already, and then the Gemara is already giving you a din as to what should happen or can happen here. Tosafot asks already on our Mishnah, the problem with the start of our Mishnah, why is it mavui, shigvoa l'mala m'esim rama? Again, it starts without giving you the information about korah, alechi, things that would have made more sense to start the Masechta with. So he says, Hiksha Amri me Orleans, Davalele Ashmina, and Hekshir Mavui Beresha, Shehu Belechi Bekora. Vimniach Lamal Misrim, Yimait. Should have said, Lechi Korah, tell us that information. Then, it's above 20, you have to fix it. So why didn't it do that? It's Teretz, the answer is, Tana Necha Leila Hatzkil, Bahai Lishna, Kmoshe Tchilat Matit and the Sukkah. It's parallel to the language in the beginning of the Mishnah and Sukkah. So since it wants to parallel that language, it starts in the same way. Again, I always say this, that's talking about Torah Shebaal Peh. When you have to memorize these things, it's very helpful to have them in the same format and the same parallel structure, because you have to memorize over and over different Masechtot. If they follow a common format, it makes it a lot easier to memorize them. When every little change, every little nuance makes a difference when you're memorizing them. So here, he wanted to parallel to that of Sukkah. Now by Sukkah, they already have the information. The information about the Sukkah comes from the Torah, which says they have to have schach. So there you have the information in the Torah, and then it tells you, you have to take it down. Over here, we don't have the prerequisites or the information that you need to understand it. Nevertheless, it used the same structure to parallel that which is found in the Mishnah in Sukkah, which is Mavui. Shehu, Gavoa, Miasrim Ama. Now, really, it's not the Mavui that is higher than 20 Amot, but it's really the Korah that is making this Mavui Mutar to carry within it. So that Mavui, if you have a Korah that is above Esrim Ama, Yima'it, you have to bring it down. So Rashi says, Shenichu et HaKorah L'malam Miasrim Ama, you put the Korah above 20 Amot. Korazula tir l'taltel b'tocha, and that korah is what allows you to carry within that area. The midoraita itzar otzad reshut rabim b'shabbat. So that's only reshut rabim, as we just defined over here. So now, since this is not a reshut rabim, so shari l'tutule bei minatorah b'li shum tikkun. You don't have to do anything to carry there minatorah. Rabbanan gazur le mishum dati l'chufei b'shut rabim, as we said, you come to mix it up. Shariu abetakanta the lechi okora, and they allowed you to do this through a lechi okora, to have a hekera. So lo leite the mishur should there be a gemurah, so there'll be a heker. The Rabbi Kiv Eger right away asks on Rashi, says, Rashi says, oh, lechin korah is mishum heker. So the Rabbi Kiv Eger says, that's not true. We have opinions, and it seems that the way that this mishur is read is that it's mishum mechitza, and not mishum hekera. That's number one. Number two is, Rashi says, shenichu et korah l'malo miyasri mama. That he put the Korah above Isri Mama. And Kiv Eger notes that this is not necessarily true, because that the Chlala Mavui is what we're talking about here, not the Korah itself. It's not the Korah that's above 20 Amot. You can't have the airspace of the Mavui be 20 Amot. That has to be less than 20 Amot. So it's not really that the Korah is above 20. It's really that the airspace between the ground and the Korah is more than 20 Amot. That would be a problem. You have to have it within the first 20 Amot of the airspace of the Mavui. The reason for that, which we'll get to, but is also mentioned in the Gemara in Sukkah, as well as by Nerot Chanukah, is that the normal vision, peripheral vision of an individual only reaches up to 20 Amot. So if a person's walking, and you want them to notice the Korah, it has to be within their peripheral vision. If it's above 20 Amot, it's outside of their normal vision, and therefore a person will not be guided by that Korah or notice that Korah, and that defeats the purpose of having the Korah here. So it has to be within their normal vision, and that the Gemara sets is 20 Amot, which is the halacha legabei schach of the sukkah, as well as Nerot Chanukah have to be within 20 Amot to be seen for Pesumei Nisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the case. Rabbi Yehuda also argues in the Mishnah and Sukkah as well, as to the definitions of these heights and distances. For Achav, mi eser Amot, imait. The doorway, now we're talking about the width of the doorway, cannot exceed 10 Amot. A normal doorway is 10 amot. If it exceeds 10 amot, then you have to shrink it. You have to narrow the doorway. You have to put a pole, something there that narrows the doorway down. If it has a door frame associated with it, even though it's wider than 10 amot, in that instance, you do not have to narrow or diminish the area of the doorway. This is one of the factors that is very prevalent in the modern day Eruv, which is the utilization of Tzurat HaPetach. If you have a Tzurat HaPetach, it allows you to have an area that is much greater than 10 Amot and still be classified as a doorway because it has the Tzurat HaPetach. We'll get to a little later in Masechta the other dinim that are used in the modern day Eruv, but this is one of the factors that plays heavily in the modern day Eruv. Nan Atam, you have a Mishnah in Sukkah. Sukkah she gvoa l'malo mi'esrim ama. You have a Sukkah that's above 20 Amot. Psula. Because the sky is too high. Yehuda Machshir. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mutar, it works fine. Machlok, didn't mean why Rabbi Yehuda thinks it works by Sukkah. So, Maishnah Gabi Sukkah, Detani Psula. Over there, Mishnah, when it talks about Sukkah above 20 Amot, it just gives you a directive that says, no good. You do that, it doesn't work. But Gabi Mavui, Tani Takanto. Over here, by the Mavui, it tells you, Ima 8. Lower it, and then everything will be fine. You could have either said Psula over here, or you could have said Ima'it by Sukkah. You would have accomplished the same. Why does the Mishnah use a different language for the same issue? So when it says Sukkah de'oraita, Sukkah, which is a din mina Torah, Tani Psula, says that it's Pasul if you don't do it right. Mavui de'rabanan, Mavui, which is only de'rabanan, Tani Takanto, explains the fix, the way that you could rectify the situation. Ibaitema, the oraita nami tani takanto, that even if it was mina Torah, they would have written the fix or the way to rectify it. Elo sukkah, the nefishin milei posik fitani, psula. By the Mishnah and Sukkah there, the first Mishnah and Sukkah tells you numerous items that can go wrong with the schach. That they have chamatam ruba mitzilta, you have all these other issues that come up with the schach. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't have time or doesn't want to deal with Ima 8. Ima 8 is not the answer for all of the problems that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So that all the problems in the Mishnah, the easiest way to deal with them is say Psula. Okay, each one of them has a way to be rectified, but they're different. The fact that you have less shade than necessary, lowering it is not going to solve your problem. You have to rectify it in a different way. So there the Mishnah writes Psula, and then deal with each issue separately. How do you rectify it? So therefore it's Pasuk B'tani Psula. Mavoy de lo nifshe mile. Over here there's only one issue that's raised in the Mishnah, which is above 20 amot, then tani takanto. Therefore it tells you Yima 8, because then you can deal with it. Tosafot over here already asks, according to the first answer that you say is the difference between Deoraita and Derabanan, why does that make a difference? Why should that matter whether the rectification or calling Psula, why should it matter if it's Deoraita or Derabanan? So Tosafot says over here, Lachkach nira lefaresh, suka Deoraita, tani Psula, Lashon Yima 8, mashma chumra be'alma. Va'ate limit'e velomar davka lechatchila, ava bidyevet shapir dami. The reason Doraita Durbana makes a difference here is because Lashon of Ima 8 sounds like the Chatchila, you should lower it. V'diyevet, if you don't lower it, it would work. So if someone came to that wrong conclusion, when you're dealing with the mitzvah Durabanan, okay, the worst that happens is that they're in violation of Durabanan. When you deal with the mitzvah Doraita, if they make that mistake or come to that wrong conclusion, they're going to end up in a situation where they have a Sukkah Psula, and they're not going to be kind of the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Tosfot says, that's the difference between Doraita and Durbanan. We're not worried. We could have written Takanta by both. We could have used the same language. What we're worried about is a mistake being made by interpreting the word Yimayit to only mean Lechatchila and not even Bidyevet. In that case, it would be a problem because you would be dealing with Doraita versus the Rabbanan, and that's the reason they differentiated the Mishnayot. Now we have Amar Rav Yudam Rav. Rav now makes a statement, which is Chachamim lo limdua elam pitcho shel heichal. The Chachamim learned their definition of a doorway from the Heichal. Rabbi Yehuda lo lamda ela mipitcho shel ulam. And Rabbi Yehuda learned his definition of a doorway from the ulam. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah in Midot. Pitcho shel Heichal gov'o esrim ama. The doorway to the Heichal was 20 amot high. Virachbo esr amot. And its width was 10 amot. Which is exactly what our Mishnah just told us. That it's more than 10 amot wide. You have to narrow it. If it's higher than 20 amot, you have to lower it. Vishal Ulam, when it comes to the Ulam. Now the Ulam is the antechamber to the Heichal. The Heichal contains within it the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodoshim, where all the Kelim are. Then there was this antechamber, this area that you walked into before you entered into Heichal, that was known as the Ulam. The Ulam was taller and wider than the Heichal itself, and so was the doorway to the Ulam, taller and wider. And that's what Rav is stating over here, the Shul Ulam. The Ulam is Gva Arba'im Ama. It's 40 Amot high, the doorway, V'rachbo Esrim Amot. And its width is 20 Amot. So based on that, Rabbi Yehuda says you can have a Korah above 20. You can have a, seems here, a doorway wider than 10. And the Chachamim say no, a doorway is 10 Amot wide, and the height is 20 Amot. The Gemara says, Shem Mikra Echad Darshu. They both learned it out from the same Pasuk, which is, Ushichato Petach Omoed, this week's Parsha, regards to the Korban HaShlomim, it says there that you have to shecht it Petach Omoed, by the doorway of the Ohel Moed. The Rabbanan Savrei Kedushat Heichal Lachud, Kedushat Ulam Lachud. When I say Petach Omoed, in the Mishkan it's very easy to have Petach Omoed. The Omoed is where the Krashim are. The Krashim surround, we just finished that in Vayaka Pekudei. The Krashim surround an area that contains within it the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim. And then you have a petach to the Ohel Moed. So when you bring the Shlamim, that has to be in front of the petach Ohel Moed. That's not a problem. Once you reach the Mikdash now has two entrances to reach into the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim. Which of those qualifies to be the petach Ohel Moed that was found in the Mishkan? Is it the petach Eichal? Or is it the petach HaUlam? The Rabbanan Savrei Kedushat Eichal Luchud V'Kedushat Ulam Nachud. That the Heichal, where the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim are contained, has its own Kedusha, and the Ulam has its own Kedusha. And therefore, you can't do something you had to do in the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim, you could not do in the Ulam. It cannot second, it cannot be used for anything that would need Kedusha to Heichal. Therefore, Kiktiv Petach Omeid, Aichal Ktiv. That means Petach Omeid, the equivalent of what was found in the Mishkan, which was the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim, is only the Heichal. That means the doorway to the Heichal is the Petach Omoed, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Heichal ve'ulam kedusha achat. He holds, or he believes, that the Heichal and Ulam contain the same kedusha. The antechamber, that entranceway into the Heichal, has the same din as the Heichal. Therefore, if you had to do something in the Eichal, you could also do it in the Ulam. It would have the same exact Kedusha. Petachol Moed would be defined by both Ptachim, both doorways. Both of them would have to be open. Shlamim has to be brought before both of these doorways, the Ulam and the Eichal. Well, first of all, only thing with the Din Derabanan. So let's start with that. We're dealing with the Eruvin here, so it's all Derabanan. We're not even dealing with the Doraita. Question is, when you define a doorway, a normal doorway, what is the definition? Do we have paradigms for a doorway? So here it's looking for a paradigm, and it finds paradigms in the Mikdash. We found things that are called a doorway. The Ol Moed is very difficult because it's not really even a petach. It's just a curtain there, 10 by 10, that doorway. And so nobody suggests that that should be the definition of a doorway. We're looking for something that is considered to be a doorway, that looks like a doorway, they're called a doorway, and they want to use that as a paradigm. So they look to the Mikdash as a paradigmatic doorway. You want to know the largest area you can cover and still be classified as a door. Vibai Deima, the Rabbi Yehuda Nami Kedushat Ulam Lechud, Kedushat Eichal Lechud. The Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the position of Chachamim, that the Ulam and the Eichal are separate. V'alchainu time of the Rabbi Yehuda, here's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda, Dichtiv, El Petach Ulam Habayit. So you see that the Ulam is also called a Petach. The fact that it's called a Petach means that it could be a paradigm as a Petach to show that that is an area that is still classified as a Petach. Only problem is there is no such pasuk in Tanakh. You don't have any pasuk like that, so how do you prove anything? You can see there's no Torah. So now you look in Tosafot. So what it says? Ze hapasuk enu b'shum makom. This pasuk does not exist. V'omeri, the Matzino Dichtiv in Yecheskel, you have a description of the building of the third Beit HaMikdash. And over there it says, in one place, in Yecheskel Mem, it says, Ulam Abayit. Grach Rina, in another pasuk, says, Ktiv Petach Abayit. They put the two of those together, and then you get what we have here, which is Petach Ulam Abayit. They combine two psukim to say you have the modification of the word Bayit there. One time it says that it's the Petach Abayit, and one time it says Ulam Habayit. So the modification of the word Bayit, one place is Ulam, one day is Petach. Mar puts them together and calls it Petach Ulam Habayit, which is, as he says, a common practice in the Gemara, that sometimes they will take two different psukim, put them together, and bring something that looks like a pasuk, even though it's not a pasuk. Rabbanan answer, Iyava Kativ, if it was written, El Petach Ulam, to the Petach of the Ulam, Kid Amart. Hash Dechtiv El Petach Ulam Habayit, the fact that it says this, Habayit Patuach the Ulam. You got it all wrong. It's going the other way around. It's easy to understand the Rabbanan's position once you know that the psukim are separate, because one of them says, Petach Habayit, and one of them says, Ulam Habayit. Once you know that, then what is the Bayit? The Bayit is the Heichal. And if that's the case, that's what the Rabbanan are arguing, that you've got it wrong. You think that the Petach is to the Ulam. That's not what's happening here. What it's saying here is that the Bayit is the Heichal, and the Ulam is the Petach to that Bayit. That is the area that opened into the Heichal. And so you're reading the Psukim wrong by misunderstanding that you have a doorway to the Ulam. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that the Ulam is the doorway to the Heichal. And that's how you misunderstood. And again, if you look at the Psukim, it seems that should be the more simple reading of the Psukim, once you know that this Pasuk that we're quoting doesn't exist. But rather, one Pasuk says, Ulam Abayit, and one that says, Petach Abayit, that means that Petach and Ulam are used interchangeably. They're used synonymously there, and they're both defining the entranceway to the Bayit. And that means that the Ulam is the Petach Labayit, and not that there is a Petach to the Ulam. And that's how the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. The Agmar says, V'ha kiktiv hai, Mishkan Ktiv. When we quoted the Pasuk, Ushchato Petach Ol Moed, isn't that written by the Mishkan? So how can you extrapolate that to the Mikdash? Why is it okay to extrapolate from Mishkan to Mikdash? It says, no problem. Ashkechan Mishkan Dikre Mikdash. We have that these words are used interchangeably. Sometimes the Mishkan is called a Mikdash. O Mikdash Dikre Mishkan. And sometimes we find that the Mikdash is called a Mishkan. So even though the Petach here is Ol Moed is defined by the Mishkan, nevertheless, it's equally applicable by the Mikdash, because Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably, and therefore we can extrapolate dinim from Mishkan to Mikdash, or from Mikdash to Mishkan. Dilote Mahachi, if you don't say this, Ha, Damar Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Shmuel. Here we have Rabbi Yehuda quoting the name of Shmuel, before it was Rabbi the name of Rav. Rabbi Yehuda learnt by Rav, and later on learnt by Shmuel. And he is one of the main quoters of halachot from Rav and Shmuel throughout Shas, because they learned by them, and the Mesorah of Rav and Shmuel comes many times through Rav Yehuda. Shlamim sheshachatan kodam pitchat daltot eichal. If the shlamim were shechted before they opened up the doorways to the eichal, psulin. They are no good. It's no good. How does he know that? Shenemar, Ushechato petach ol moed. What pasuk does he quote? He quotes it from Parshat Vayikra, a pasuk that's used by the Mishkan. Yet, the halacha he's talking about is in the Mikdash. There are no daltot in the Mishkan. There are no doors in the Mishkan. So what he's talking about the doors in the Mikdash. He says, the doors aren't open, then it's not petach ol moed. It's not when the ol moed is open, when the doorway is open and available to you. So you see that Shmuel is applying halacha that we find by Mishkan to Mikdash. So b'zman shptuchim, v'lo b'zman she'inu olim. Petach means patuach, they have to be open. Not when they are closed or locked. That's written by the Mishkan. How could he do that? They can be used interchangeably. So even though you find halacha by Mishkan, it will be applicable to Mikdash. And even if you find halacha by Mikdash, it will be applicable to the Mishkan. Then the Gemara continues, Bishlama Mikdash Tikre Mishkan. I found in the Torah that the Mikdash is called the Mishkan because it says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in Parshat Bichukotai, for the Tochukha, with the brachot that you would get, it says over there, Dechtiv, Venatati Mishkani Bitochechem. That Hashem says, if I'm happy with you, and that I enjoy what you're doing, and you keep all the mitzvot that I say, then I will place my Mishkan amongst you. Now the Mishkan already exists. So what does that mean? I'm going to place the Mishkan amongst you. Must be talking about a Mishkan in the future. What Mishkan is it talking about? Well, there's only one Mishkan. Mishkan that they brought in from the Midbar that was later placed in Shiloh. And that was where the Mishkan remained until it was destroyed in the time of Shmuel, in the time of Eli. But other than that, there's no other Mishkan. So what does that mean in the future? V'natati Mishkani b'tochachem. That Mishkan refers obviously to the Mikdash, latid avot. You see that the Mikdash is called a Mishkan. El Mishkan Dikre Mikdash, where do we ever find that Mishkan is called a Mikdash? Minola. Ile Mirdiktivi, because he says in Parshat Naso, Venasua Kihatim Noseham Mikdash, Vekimueta Mishkan Ad Boam. So it says there that the Kihatim carry the Mishkan, and then they would set up the Mishkan before Bnei Yisrael came, based on where they were in the Masa'ot. They would get there before everybody else. They would set up the Mishkan by the time the rest of the Masa'ot got there, and then everybody would camp or encamp around the Mishkan. So there you see what it says, Venos Eham Mikdash. They're carrying the Mikdash. Well, they're not carrying the Mikdash, they're carrying the Mishkan. So if that's what you want to suggest, no, that's not the right explanation. Ahu Baron Ktiv. That's talking about the clay Mishkan. Kahatim, when they divided it up, who carried what? The Kahatim had all the holy vessels. They had all the items that were Kodesh. The Brari and Gershuni carried all the heavier items, carried the structure of the Mishkan. But the Kelim were carried by Kahat. So the word there, Mikdash, doesn't mean the Mishkan. It means Mikdash, that which was Kodesh inside of the Mishkan, which is the Aron and the Kelim that are Mikudashim. Elamiocha comes from, obviously, the Pasuk from Truma, which is Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Bitocham. Over there, he's giving instructions to build the Mishkan. It says, build me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in it. Well, they're building a Mishkan, not a Mikdash. So obviously, they're calling the Mishkan a Mikdash. Now Gemara says, Ben the Rabbanan, Uben the Rabbi Yehuda, Lofu mipetach shar hechatzer. Why don't you learn it out from the doorway to the chatzer, the courtyard that is around the Mishkan? So far, we've only used for the definition of a doorway or a petach, the heichal, the ulam, or the ol moed. That's the only areas that we've talked about. But there is another petach that's mentioned in the Torah, which is the petach shar hechatzer, which is the courtyard around. The courtyard around had curtains around it, and then there was an entranceway to that on the eastern side. The size of the courtyard is 100 amot by 50 amot. It was 100 amot deep, that means east to west, and wide it was 50 amot wide. And there were curtains all the way around. On the eastern side, the curtains did not reach all the way around. There was an area that was the doorway. That area was 20 amot wide. Because it says there that the katef, the shoulders were 15 amot, and the other shoulder is 15 amot. You take 15 and 15, that's 30. And then the area in the middle is the doorway. So that would be 20 amot between the two shoulders. So the Gemara wants to know now, how galifo me petach shar chatzer dichtiv, that says, orech chatzer me abama. The length of the chatzer east to west is 100 amot. Rachav, north to south, is chamishim bechamishim. It's 50-50. The Gemara will get later on why it mentions the word 50 twice. Bekoma chamesh amot, and it's 5 amot high. Uchtiv, and it says, regarding the eastern side, Chamesh esrei ama akvayim la katef, uktev la katef ashenit, mizeh umizeh eshar achatzer, klayim chamesh esrei ama. And then the other side, the other shoulder of the eastern side is also 15 amot. So here we're quoting about the construction of the Mishkan, and the Mishkan has, on the eastern side, 15 amot shoulder and 15 amot that come in on each side on a 50 amot wide area. So 15 amot on each side that come in, then you leave an area in between them that is 20 amot wide. So Gemara wants to understand, how come you don't use that? That's called the petach, it's petach shara chatzer, and that is 20 amot wide. Why are you limited to 10 amot wide, or that narrowness of a doorway? So Gemara says, mala halan, just like over there, chamesh berochav esrim, it's 5 high by 20 wide, afkan chamesh berochav esrim, 5 high and 20 amot wide. You should know there's a big machlokot rishonim over here, as to what exactly the question of the Gemara is. I'm reading the Gemara based on Rashi's conclusion, and the view that Tosafot favors, which is the question here is simply about the width of the doorway. That the doorway is 20 amot wide, and that's what the Gemara is asking. Why do you have a doorway limited to 10 amot? You should have a doorway that is 20 amot wide. There are Rishonim. Rashi quotes it and rejects it. Tosafot quotes it and rejects it, and back and forth about it. But in the end, he does think that the other explanation is better, which is that they are also asking, why don't you have a door that's only 5 amot high? It's not only about the width here, but also about the height of 5 amot. The reason that they favor this is because the answer of the Gemara, we're going to see in a second. Number two is, why did the Gemara over here say chamesh berochav esrim? Why is the chamesh relevant? The 5 isn't relevant. It should have just said the width of 20. It shouldn't have said a height of 5. Why is a height of 5 relevant at all? Unless you think there's an issue with the height. That's what drove the other Rishonim to put the chamesh in. Again, it makes it much more difficult because there's really no way to understand what the chamesh has to do with over here. There was no surat ha-petach. There was no door frame in the petach shara chatzer. So the 5 amot high, why is that relevant? So it's very difficult to explain it that way. I just want you to understand, as you can see, there's a large Tosafot trying to address this issue. So now Gemara says, no, that doesn't work, because petach shara chatzer ikre, petach stama lo ikre. Whenever it talks about the shara chatzer, it doesn't just call it petach. It doesn't say the word petach without any qualifier. It always says petach shara chatzer, which means that it's only called petach shar, or petach shar chatzer, never called just petach. And we're looking for something that's called a doorway. Just a doorway. Not something that has a qualified term to it, which is petach shar chatzer. Like when we look before, it says uchchato petach ol moed, and then other places, it just calls it the petach. It doesn't say petach ol moed, doesn't give it that qualifying definition. Now, the problem is that in Bamidbar, it does call the petach shar chatzer just petach. So there is one place where it says that. Tosafot says, no, but the overwhelming evidence is against it. Because that one place is an exception, but everywhere else it says petach shara chatzer. Based on that, he says the overwhelming evidence is that they don't use that, or they don't define that as just a petach. V'ibay teima, and others want to suggest, kiktiv klayim chamesh esrei ama l'katef. Over here, when it says the 15 amot l'katef for the shoulders, bigova hu dechtiv, that's talking about the height of it. Gova, what do you mean that's talking about the height? V'aktiv v'koma chamesh amot, that the height of the klayim are 5 amot high. Well, if they're 5 amot high, how can you now argue that we're talking about the height here being 15 amot high, if they were 5 amot high? So where it says, no, how misvat mizbeach olamala, that's from the top of the mizbeach and upward. So the klayim here, what the Gemara is suggesting, are that they are 5 amot high. Just koma chamesh amot. It says it explicitly that they are 5 amot high. The Gemara says, no, you got it wrong. They're not really 5 amot high. They're really 15 amot high. Because it says l'katef. On the side or the shoulders, they are 15 amot. Now, over there, the psukim are written in two different places with regards to the klayei chatzer. In one place, it does say koma chamesh amot, and there it's clear that the chamesh esrei ama seem to be talking about width and not about height. But in the other place, and that's why, as Tosafot points out, they quote it from Parshat Vayakhel. In Parshat Vayakhel, it's somewhat ambiguous about what the chamesh esrei ama, because it doesn't use the term koma. And over there, it could be that the chamesh esrei ama are the koma and not the width of it, because there's no koma chamesh amot that's mentioned there. So in that context, you could have argued that the chamesh esrei ama are the height of it, not the width. So now that would suggest is that on the eastern side, instead of it being the 5 amot that was everywhere else, or you could argue that all the kalayim were this way all the way around, one of those two, that it was 15 amot high. So then, once you've defined it and saying that that's 15 amot high, what's the width of the doorway? We don't know. That information is not given to us by the Torah. So we don't know what the width is, so we'll go to standard width. It's going to be 10 amot. That's the standard width of a doorway. So that we're not going to worry about. But what are you going to do with the pasuk that's found in Parshat Truma? It says, v'koma chamesh amot. The height was 5 amot. What are you going to do? You have to deal with that pasuk. So that, the Gemara answer is, that is 5 amot above the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach on the Choshet was 10 amot high, at least according to one opinion. That is also a machloka as to whether the Mizbeach was 3 amot high or 10 amot high. So, assuming, according to the opinion that it was 10 amot high, the Mizbeach, then if you have the Klaim that are 15 amot high, the Klaim exceed the height of the Mizbeach by 5 amot. And that is Koma Chamesh amot. That is important because then when the Kohen ascends the Mizbeach and does the Avodah, that people couldn't see him. If the Klaim were only 5 amot high, then they could watch him doing the Avodah. If they were only 10 amot high, they could watch him doing the Avodah because they didn't exceed the height of the Mizbeach. So the 5 amot that exceed the height of the Mizbeach are important because that's what gives privacy to the Kohen who's doing the Avodah inside the Mishkan. And that's why it's significant to say that it's Chamesh Amot, that a 5 Amot that exceed the 10 Amot, that was the height of the Mizbeach, and that's why it says Koma Chamesh Amot. And that's the answer. So again, now we have the definition of height of the curtains. What we don't have is the width, or the width of the doorway, and that is left unknown, or unresolved, and now we just say, well, it'll be like any other doorway, it'll be 10 Amot wide, because the Torah then doesn't give us the definition of how wide the shoulders were on the eastern side. And so we don't know. We'll assume that they were wide enough to leave a doorway that was only 10 amot wide. Again, the reason that the other opinion says we're talking about height here is because the pasuk says v'koma chamesh amot. It's very hard to argue that the psukim are talking about this issue of height when they say the chamesh esriyama. It seems almost obvious that they are talking about the width and not the height. Again, Tosafot points out that they're written twice. It's written once in Vayakel, once in Parshat Truma, and by differentiating between those psukim, you can actually come out to a position where koma is not mentioned. In that sense, you could use the Chamesh Esriyama to mean the height and not the width. And Tosafot says, it's even Meduyak. The questioner over here asked the question from the Pasuk in Parshat Truma, which has the height of the Kla'im mentioned. On the other hand, the person who answered and responded over here said no. And he quotes the Pasuk from Vayakhel. And the Pasuk in Vayakhel is ambiguous, does not have the height mentioned, and it even seems like the extraneous wording over there makes it sound like the height is also 15 amot. And so he says it is meduyah. Questioner and answer over here are using the psukim from the different places in Sefer Shmot in order to bolster their positions. And that's why he believes that the question here is about the opening, the width of the opening. And the answer of the Gemara is that the psukim are only talking about the height of Kla'im and not giving you any information about the width of the opening. Now Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda mipitcho shel heulam gamar. Did Rabbi Yehuda really learn from the pitcho shel heulam batnan? Rachav mi'asar amot yima'et. Our Mishnah says that if it's wider than 10 amot, you reduce it, you narrow it. Wait a minute, if he's learning from the petach heulam, we saw the definition of petach heulam is 40 high, 20 wide. Why should Rabbi Yehuda agree that you have to narrow it down to 10 amot? In the Mishnah, he only argues on height. He does not argue on width. Velo polig Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Abaye polig v'braita. He does argue, just not in our Mishnah, in a braita we see he argues, the Tanya. Rachav mi Yehuda mot yima'et. Rabbi Yehuda mer, eino tzarich lema'et. Well, Rabbi Yehuda does think that beyond 10 amot is fine, so that's not a question anymore. Velifloh v'matnitan. Why doesn't he argue in our Mishnah? Why doesn't he say in the Mishnah? No. So this is polig begova v'adin l'rochba. In our Mishnah, he argues on the height, and we know that's the same thing. He also argues on the width. It just doesn't mention it, and the braita clarifies for us that that is the case. Vakate Rabbi Yehuda mipitcho shulam gamar. Can Rabbi Yehuda really learn out of the petach ulam? Vatanya, we have a breita. Mavui shu gva michafama. You have a mavui which is more than 20 amot high. Yima'et. You have to reduce it. That's the shita of the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda makshir admem nun. Ama until 40 or 50 amot. Vatani bar kapara admeya. Forget about 40, 50 until 100. Bishlam other bar kapara. When you talk about bar kuma guzma. It's clear that he's exaggerating. When he says 100 amot, he doesn't mean literally 100 amot, because that's just way too high. He says 100 amot, he means just way more than 20. So that's fine. Ela Rabbi Yehuda, my guzma. So what are you going to do when it says over there, Rabbi Yehuda says 40, 50, what are you going to do there? 40, 50 means 40 or 50. 40 is fine, because that's petach ulam. 50 exceeds the petach ulam, so why should that be okay according to Rabbi Yehuda? So bishlama arbaim gamar mipitcho shel ulam. I understand where you got 40 from, that's a petach ulam. Ela nun minale. Where did he find this nun from? Sahamar Chista matnita at ite the Rav. This bright confused Rav. The truth is, it's not the source for Rabbi Yehuda, but Rav thought it was the source for Yehuda. Tanya, the bright mavui shu gva mikafama yuter mipitcho shel heichal yimait. A mavui which exceeds the height of the petah of the heichal of 20 amot, you have to reduce it. Husavar Rav then inferred from this midr abanam pitcho shel heichal gamri. In fact, the Rabbanan learned out of the Petach Eichal, Rabbi Yehuda mipitcho shel ulam gamar. Rabbi Yehuda learns out of the Petach Ulam, and therefore he thought Rabbi Yehuda's definition of a doorway is governed by ulam. Veloi. That's just not the case. Rabbi Yehuda mipitcha de malkin gamar. He learns it out from palatial doorways. Glacial doorways, which can far exceed the 40 amot. Anything that's a doorway. Mass and doorways are fine. So he says there is no definition to it. As long as you can have a doorway that works in that way, that would be fine. 40 amot, 50 amot, whatever it is, doorway that you can use for palatial estates, that's fine. So now we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not learn out Pitkol Olam. That's a mistake that Rav made by defining by Pitkol Olam. But we do know the Braita says that the Rabbanim learn it out of the Petach HaEichal. That is their definition, which is 10 wide, 20 high. Well, if they're going to learn out of Petach HaEichal, Petach HaEichal also has other features, which is Libai Daltot Keichal. What about doors? Petach HaEichal has doors on it. So maybe Petach of a Mavui should also require doors. Because if that's where you're getting your definition of Petach, it should conform to that definition of Petach. So Alam Atnan, we have a Mishnah, Echshir Mavui, Bichamai Omrim, Lechi Bikora, Beit Elel, Omrim, Lechi Okora. This should have been the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Right, but that's coming up on Daf Yud Aleph. We'll see that. The Mishnah says that Beit Shammai says, in order to have a end of a Mavui be okay and carry inside of it, you have to have both a korah, a beam across it, and a lechi, a pole on the side. Beit Hillel says you can pick one or the other. You need one of the two, you don't need both of them. But nobody requires doors. Why? So, daltot eichal, it's tzniut ba'amahud ba'avidan. They were only made for privacy reasons, for tzniut. It's not that the pitech eichal requires doors. Even if the eichal did not have doors, it would have been fine. The doors are just done there because that's a nice way to build. It's a newer way to build, but if there were no doors there, it would have been completely fine. And because of that, that cannot be defining the petach. That's not defining the petach. The petach is defining about what's required there. That which is required, that's the petach. Things that are put in as, we'll call them decorative in nature, or additional, for additional features like tzniut, those don't define the petach. And therefore, a petach eichal is 10 by 20, but it doesn't have to require doors. We saw in our Mishnah that tzurat petach, having a door frame, was sufficient to have even larger sizes than Petach HaEichal. But why should that be? If we're learning the definition of doorway from the Petach HaEichal, guess what? The Petach HaEichal also has a door frame. And despite the fact that it has a door frame, we're still limiting it to 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. The HaEichal Tzureta Petach HaVilo. Fafilo Achin, despite the fact, Esar Motu Deraviach. It's only 10 amot wide. Alam Atnan. How about our Mishnah says, Im Yeshul Tzureta Petach, Af Bishrachav Mi Esar Amot, Enu Tzarech Lemaid. Even if it's wider than 10, you don't have to bring it down because it's Tzurat HaPetach. The Ulam has a Tzurat HaPetach, and by having a Tzurat HaPetach, it's still limited to 10 Amot. It still has that limitation to it. Where it says, Midi Hutayma El Rav. Wait a minute, this is only according to Rav. Your question is only according to Rav. Because Rav thinks that this is the way that things are defined. The Rav thinks that Petach Ulam defines Rabbi Huda's position, and Petach Echal defines the Chachamim's position. So according to Rav, you have a question. A question is that you shouldn't be able to have something wider than 10 amot, because they has a tzurat petach, the echal has a door frame, and it's only limited to 10 amot. Why? So Gemara says, well, that's according to Rav. You know what? And Rav has our Mishnah read differently. Rav's Mishnah read like this. Ha-matnile Rabbi Yehuda l'chia bar-Rav. Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, was teaching a Mishnah to chia bar-Rav, Rav's son. Kameid Rav, and Rav was sitting there. And he wrote, Einu tzarech lemaid. Like our Mishnah says, you do not have to reduce it. When you have a door frame, you don't have to reduce it below 10 amot. V'amalei, and Rav says to him, Atnei tzarech lemaid. Change it. No, it's not you don't. You do have to reduce it. So according to Rav, our Mishnah reads, when you have tzuret petach, if it's beyond 10 amot, you have to reduce it or narrow it down to 10 amot. So then it wouldn't be a question, because then it's Rav l'shita, though. Rav thinks that petach ha'echal is the definition of doorway for the chachamim. He also believes that you have a doorway that is wider than 10 amot. Even if it's tzurat petach, you have to reduce it to less than 10 amot. So me'el mi'ata, lo ti'ane lei amaltera. So this amaltera. Amaltera is what we call a decorative door frame. Decorative door frame which was found in the Mikdash. Above the door of the echal, they had these beams across. We're going to read it in 1 second. Which where there were 5 beams that went across. That went from narrow to wider as it went up. So as it went up, they were wider. Some of the Rishonim believe they also came out forward, but they were decorative in nature. The Eichal, Amaltra Avile. The Eichal had this Amaltra, this decorative top, the cornice to the doorway, and therefore, it shouldn't help you. Vafilu Achi. And even though the doorway is a Srim Amau de Gova, that it's only 20 amot high. So it's to say that even if you have an Amaltra, 20 amot should be the limit of height. That's none. We have a Mishnah Midot, Chamesh Amaltarot Shel Milah, we have here, Shel Milah, is in the Mishnah, Hayu Al Gabav, Zulam Alamizu, Bezulam Alamizu, stacked on top of each other, they had these 5 beams that went across, Rashi says it was made out of what seems to be balsam wood, others say it's made out of oak, it was a beautiful wood, a nice wood, that sat on top, and that gave it a decorative nature to the doorway. So when it says, "V'hai mai tiyufto," what type of question is this? Dilmaki hai tanya hahi adam altrot b'ulam. That's talking about the ulam. Who says that has to do with the door of the echal? That was on the ulam. Tanya v'hai mai kushya. What type of question is that? Dilma tavnit echal k'tavnit ulam. Who says the doorway of the echal didn't look exactly like the doorway to the ulam? So Gemara's assumption is that these amaltrot were also there on the petach echal. So what's the question? We haven't gotten the question yet. This is just setting up the question that there were these amaltrot above the door of the echal. Alama amar Rabbi ila amar Rav. We have something quoted in the name of Rav. Rachba dalet. Afa pish ena bria. If you have a beam that goes across, that is four amot wide, that can hold a brick, even though it's not strong enough to hold up the brick, nevertheless, it's good as a korah. Vim yeshla amaltra afilu gvoa yoter mitzrim ama enu tzarich lemait. If you have an amaltra up there, even if it's higher than 20 amot, you don't have to lower it. Why not? And a maltra draws the eye. It's something unique, something unusual. So even though it's not in your normal peripheral vision, but something outstanding, something that is will catch your eye, therefore it works. But what does Rab say? It's above 20 amot, it works. Yet the petach ha'echal, the doorway of the echal, is 20 amot high, and it has an amaltra. If it has an amaltra, it's telling you the definition of doorway with an amaltra is only 20 amot high. How come you can exceed 20 amot over here? So Amrav Yosef, amaltra matnitahi. That amaltra, that quote over here, is not from Rav. It's a braita. Man ktanilo. So the Gemara says, who wrote it? How do we know that it's a good braita, that we have to worry about this braita for Rav? Amrabaye, v'ha chama brei de rabba baravua ktanilo. We have it as a mesora from either chama or Rav chama brei de rabba baravua. And he's a reliable mesora. That means it's a good braita. It's a good braita. Now you have to have your maltra matnita. So let it be a braita. V'tikshe the Rav. Now it's a problem for Rav. Braita that says the maltra helps you to go above 20 amot. For Rav, 20 amot's the top of the height you can use because he defines it by petach ha'echal. And even though the het petach ha'echal has an amaltra, 20 amot is the limit. I'm the Rav. Dalana miyacha. Get me out of the picture. Matnita mi lo kashina adodi. You have a stira in the braitot. Why do you have a stira in the braita? Before we had a braita that said that it's defined by petach shalechal, that's the definition of the Rabbanan. And now we have another braita that says you can have a maltra and have it above 20 amot. You have a stira between braitot. Elamayit lecham emar, tanayihi, it's a machloket tanayim, the di nami tanayihi. I can say the same thing, it's a machloket tanayim, and I subscribe to one position. I subscribe to the braita that says that it's defined, the Rabbanan's position is defined by petach shalechal. There's another braita that says that you can have a maltra above 20 amot. That's another Tana who argues on this Tana. I don't agree with that Tana, because I have another Tana that supports my position. It says the definition of a doorway is Petach Ha'echal. And Petach Ha'echal had an Amaltra, and Amaltra is limited to 20 Amot. And that would be Rav's position, like that Tana of the Breita. The other Breita, that's a different Tana. He argues, I don't agree with that Tana, and I'm fine, because I have a Tana who supports my position. Okay, we'll stop over here.